This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
I mean, guys, we play the game every week where, well, the Jets game is winnable this week, and if not this week, then when will it happen? It's the Bills this coming week. And
we
then
said
it's
that
the
once.
Chiefs.
We said that once. They have one winnable game. Stop. Well,
I mean, where do you, how can they possibly win a game?
They can't.
They can't.
I mean, are you, honestly, they're 0-6. Are you, Rick, resigned? And be serious. Don't be, you know, I hate them, this love affair, all this. Do you see any real way that they can win a game this year?
No. Not at the moment, no. Now, that could change. Now, that could change, maybe, if, you know, they fire the coach and guys actually start to try. But they are still, I mean, you can clearly tell what Joe Douglas is trying to do. He trades away McClendon. I mean, this is full-on rebuild. This is they're tearing this thing down, and they're going to try to accumulate as many draft picks as they can, moving forward.
And while they're doing that, they're going to try to make sure that they get rid of all the strong voices in the locker room that might be in opposition to Adam Gase, because it's clear that he doesn't know what he's doing. To me, that's what the Steve McClendon move feels like more so than anything else. Like, I know Bart said that the organization did Le'Veon Bell a solid last week in trading him to the cutting him and letting him go to the Chiefs. And trading Steve McClendon to Tampa is probably doing him a solid, too. And I'm not going to dispute that, because both of those guys are in better situations. But that move was really about Joe Douglas trying to do everything that he can to support his head coach while Adam Gase still has the job. But I don't know how you can continue to let him have the job if the team goes out there and performs the way it did on Sunday. I don't know how you continue to do that, Dave. Because it's clear they don't have a chance in any of these games. There's no plan. There's no path to victory. Like, you have a team that's going out there and being non-competitive.
But here's my question.
You don't have to practice to do what the Jets are doing.
Here's my question for you. And I agree with you that he's a bad coach. And
yeah.
I agree with you that I don't
Somebody should be held accountable for it. Yes.
If you replace him, are they now going to win a game? Like, I don't think they have enough talent if you put anybody
but it
as the head coach.
But Dave, they might not win a game. But here's what you do have going for you if you do end up getting rid of Adam Gase. First of all, you show that the organization is willing to hold people accountable for doing their jobs. And if you don't do your job, then you won't have a job here. So that's the first thing that you do. You send that message to everyone throughout the organization. The second thing that you do is you try to put some structure around what you're doing from a preparation standpoint so you can give young guys an opportunity to play and allow your general manager to evaluate them. I think that's the most important thing that the Jets have going for them for the rest of the season. These next 10 games, it's about evaluating young players, and it's about seeing if you can develop young players. Because it's not just about getting talent into your organization. It's about building up the infrastructure to develop said talent. And the Jets have shown that they can't do that. So at some point, you have to start laying the groundwork in order to do that, and at the foundation of that is accountability. How can you have accountability if you allow Adam Gase to continue to be the head coach?
Well, I don't think
you can't.
Well, he doesn't take accountability himself. I mean, you listen to his post-game press conferences. It's not the plays. It's the execution. It's the players. It's always in the players. It could end up being Greg Williams who goes first, just because, I mean, Adam Gase was Chris Johnson's hire, so it could be Greg Williams that pays the price first. But I don't disagree with you. I just don't know what the appetite is for Chris Johnson to make a change. Because, and I think part of that has to do with the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic, so there aren't people showing up to games and everything else.
Sure.
I think if this was actually normal circumstances,
yeah, and you had people revolting at the games, yes,
then they probably make a change. But I think there's a lot of people inside that building that don't mind seeing this team lose games right now because they would rather have the first overall pick.
And that's fine, Rick. And I don't mind watching the Jets lose games either, but they do need to be more competitive. But that's not going to be the case as long as Adam Gase is the head coach. Like, to me, if I were the owner of a team, I don't mind my team losing games as long as we're losing with a purpose. And for me, the purpose for the next 10 games for the Jets should strictly be on evaluating young players and trying to see if they can develop. But if you don't have a game plan, if you don't have the ability for all phases of your football team to work in concert, then how can you get an accurate gauge on what these young guys could be or what they can actually do? You can't. And so to continue to allow this team to go out there and be dysfunctional,
I don't know how many young players we're talking about, in all honesty.
Well, Rick, here's the thing. We don't know. We don't know how many young players we're talking about because we have Adam Gase as the head coach. And it's clear that he doesn't know how to evaluate talent, nor does he know how to put those guys in positions where they do things well. So, I mean, we don't know. We said Miami was a lifeless, talentless team when he was the head coach. And they looked a hell of a lot more competitive under Brian Flores last year than they were in Adam Gase the previous season.
I guess the question for me, Rick, would be what's the downside of firing him now? Like, you move on.
There is no
him.
Downside.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there any chance that you're going to keep him for next year?
Listen, I told you he should be fired. You and Chris are the ones like, I don't know. I don't know.
I said he should be fired. I just said I don't know if Chris Johnson will do that.
He's going to be fired. It's just now it's a matter of when. Now it's a matter of time.
Right.
When. So then I'll tell you why. I think part of the reason why he hasn't been fired yet is because Joe Douglas wants to do him the solid of at least having everyone back healthy before he makes that decision. There'll be no more excuses.
But who's everyone? You're trading away everyone. You're getting rid of everybody.
Now writing is on the wall. Now writing is on the wall.
I mean, Denzel Mims is going to be the magic elixir to fix this team?
No one's saying magic elixir, but if the guy helps get you the job, you're going to bend over to backwards to at least give him the opportunity to prove to you that he can coach. If you value the relationship, you want him to understand that when it is time to fire him, that you gave him every opportunity. And I think part of that is making sure all his guys are back. Because no one expected this team. Joe Douglas did not expect the team to be this bad. Like, everyone wants to say, oh, Jets are tanking. They didn't. When they made the moves they made this offseason, they did not expect to be this bad.
No. Nobody expected them to be this bad.
And now that he realizes that they are this bad, now you let the phone ring and whoever you want, make a fair offer and you can have them.
You can have. I mean, honestly.
So what happens with Sam Darnold once he comes back healthy? What do you do with him?
You play him. Well,
you got to play him. You have to play him.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know what good it would be. One of these teams that wants to trade for him now, I don't know what good that would do. And I don't know how you could trade him now. I mean, he's the only reason you want to watch these games.
If you got an offer that you thought was big, though, for him,
that's what I'm saying. That's the part of it where I don't know what you do with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but why would you get an offer now, though, Dave? That's that big. He's not gonna. I mean, he's gonna pick up a system in enough time to actually help your team win now.
No.
Why wouldn't you just wait?
You probably should.
Why else are you gonna watch the Jets if they trade Sam Darnold? Tell me why you're turning the Jets on.
Because they're your team.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I'm telling you because they're your team.
Turning
that's the
it
only
on
reason.
And paying attention to it are two different things.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying, Rico, and I guess the reason why I asked the question is if you have a team that's going out there and being non-competitive, and you put Sam Darnold in the middle of it, do you think that there's something that's actually good that's going to come out of that scenario? That's the thing that I worry about. Like if you put Sam Darnold out there and you have a team under Adam Gase that continues to go out there and not only not compete but not give effort. You're putting that kid in a bad situation, and that's only going to hurt his value when you go to move him this offseason.
Yeah, but he's already been in a bad spot the entire time Adam Gase has been here.
Yeah, but you could be in a worse spot because he can get hurt and he could have some injury where you're talking about him having to have surgery and them not knowing what kind of player he's going to be on the other side of that.
Well, you're not
they already put him
bench.
In the game when the kid got slammed on the shoulder and separated in a short week on a Thursday night game. They've already done that.
Yeah, but you're not going to sit him out. I mean, that's not an option.
Ricky, but all I'm saying is I agree with you. I think that you need to play Sam and you need to try to have him show well so you can build back some value when you do go to move him this offseason. I just don't know how you do that if you have Adam Gase as the head coach. That's what I'm trying to get to. So you what is there to be gained if you fire Adam Gase? I think that's what it is to be gained.
Yeah,
your team looks more competent.
Yeah, but at that point, I mean, if Joe Douglas starts trading away all the talented guys you have anyway, it doesn't matter who that new head coach is going to be. Like whoever's the interim head coach.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, will they try harder? Yeah, they'll try harder. But that's
the only thing that matters, Rick.
But
they'll actually try
hard. Chris, how long will they try hard, though? I mean, they're already 0-6.
Well, I think they'll try a lot harder. Because you're talking about somebody in the organization actually being held accountable for not doing their job well. When you send that message, that trickles down to everyone. Not just the coaching staff, but the players in the locker room too. So that's what I'm saying. I think if you make the move to get rid of Adam Gase, you get more effort. I mean, RJ Bell was on the show last week talking about that. You usually get a bump when you fire the head coach that next game because guys give more effort. Guys get put on notice. All I'm saying is I think that's the move that should be made because that's what there is to be gained out of the rest of the season. There is no – you said it yourself. There's no real downside to firing Adam Gase. So what's the upside to keeping him?
to continue to lose.
But you're going to continue to lose anyway. You're trading everybody away. That's going to happen anyway.
You're terrible. Atlanta has a win. They're going to win more games. The Giants have a win. They're going to win more games. Washington has a win. They'll probably win another game or two. You're going to wind up with
them. Yeah, but I mean, if you really wanted to be petty, I mean, you could seal the deal. I mean, you could seal his fate. If you made him sit around for all 16 of these things and go 0-16, that's a wrap. This team look as bad as it's looked, and the offense looked as bad as it's looked. Hey, that's it. I mean, where's he working again?
But do you really care?
That doesn't matter.
I do a little bit. Really?
Yeah,
Joe Douglas, your goal is not to make him unemployable. Your goal is to move on from him and bring in someone competent. You say
you're
that
not bringing you're, anyone, but you're there's angry. No one. But there's no one inside. Like Greg Williams is not going to be the interim head coach. It does not feel like Greg Williams has set himself up to be the interim head coach.
No, in fact, he might go with Adam Gase.
Well, he might go first, and then Adam Gase may follow. So you tell him who's going to be. Joe Vitt?
Why not?
Dowell Loggins?
Why not?
Cooter?
It doesn't matter who it is.
Put Cooter in charge?
I don't care.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter, but I don't. You're not going to get the – I don't think that you're going to – just because this team is not a very good team, that you're going to get the result that you're expecting by just changing the
right.
coach.
I think the
result I'm looking for is more effort, and I think I would get that result just because the effort can't get worse.
Well, no, it can't get worse, I mean, which is sad to even say that, but I don't – at a certain point, I mean, there's a reason why you say ship home the cars. I mean, I don't care who the head coach is. Once your team – and this is one of those sports that once your team is done – and they're getting, they're about, what, 2 weeks away from being completely done, finished, after they get blown up by the Bills and the Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. Like, I don't care who the, you could fire the coach all you want. Like, our season's over. Like, I'm going to do my damnest to make sure I don't blow an ACL.
The season's over. You're absolutely right. But that doesn't mean that you don't go out there and play the games. And what I'm saying is, okay, you got 10 more games left this year. Okay, how can we use those 10 games in a constructive way in order to start the process of being able to build back this program? And to me, the thing that you do is you play all of the young guys that you want to get a long, hard look at, and you can evaluate them and see if they can be a part of this process. Because we've talked about it before. Even if you draft Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick, there are going to be some guys on this team right now that are going to be relied upon in 2021 in order to support that young quarterback. And so to me, you want to try to develop those guys as much as you possibly can. You can't burn 10 games. And that's what you would be doing if you kept Adam Gase as the head coach and you didn't hold somebody accountable for what you saw through the first third of the season.
You're probably right. I would rather have him have to wear this.
No, okay.
He's going to have to wear it anyway, Rick. This is going to be on his resume. This is going to be, if not the worst, one of the all-time worst NFL teams. I gave you the statistic on point differential last hour. Like I said, they're on pace to have a minus 293 point differential.
Which
would be an NFL record. That would beat the 76 Buccaneers. That's where they're at right now.
Team.
This is an awful football team. So, I mean, Adam Gase will have to wear that on his resume, and you're right. He'll never be a head coach in the National Football League again. I'm going to be honest, guys. I don't know if he'll even be a coordinator in the National Football League again. If I was a coach or if I was a general manager or if I was an owner, I wouldn't let him anywhere near my team.
He's
That's
terrible.
How bad this has been.
Val in the Bronx. Val, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. It seems like I'm always calling you guys and talking at bad times. But then again, it seems like the Jets.
All we have is bad times, Val.
All we have is bad times, exactly. I got two questions for you. I'm not even going to get into the Adam Gase thing because as far as I'm concerned, he's a dead man walking. So whether it happens today, tomorrow, or at the end of the season, it really doesn't make a difference. Hopefully Joe Douglas is already looking at who the next guy is. My two questions, though, are with what's going on right now, it looks like we're almost pretty much guaranteed to get that first pick.
Is
there really
say,
a problem?
Why?
57% chance, Val. 57%.
You guys go through it all the time. Show me a win somewhere in the schedule. I don't see it. And even if we get one, somebody else going to get more than that. So my question is, assuming we do get Lawrence, is there really such a bad thing? At this point, Darnold, you know, Flacco is showing that it's not really his fault, but really and truly, he has no value. So we can't really get too much for him. And his value as far as how much we would have to pay him probably drops too. So is there really such a problem in keeping both of them and just trying to get that
new
guy?
You can't keep Darnold and Lawrence. No.
Well, why not?
Because you can't pay two quarterbacks, Val. You're going to take the third pick in the draft. You're going to take the third pick in the draft and keep him as your backup quarterback?
Until we figure out which one is good. We're not guaranteed that Lawrence is going to.
So then you might move on from Lawrence if it doesn't work out with him?
Oh, my God almighty.
I mean, come on, Val.
Which one is good? You don't draft the quarterback first overall to figure out who's better, him or the guy you drafted third overall.
And beyond that, you got to make a decision on Sam Darnold's fifth-year option this offseason.
And you want to get the equity back.
There's no way the Jets would do that.
He's going to have some value.
You just answered my question.
Not what you gave up. You're not going to get the value.
No, but you'll get something.
Yeah, you'll get something.
Yeah. You'll get something that you can now turn into a different player.
Yeah, which is fine. But, I mean, it's with these dysfunctional teams here in New York, all you do is just you take an asset and you devalue it to the point where when you do decide to make a deal, it's just you get 50 cents on the dollar.
I'm just amazed that we're here with Sam Darnold already, though, guys. Through no fault of his own, right? This is not on Sam Darnold.
Uh-uh.
Even if they end up with the number one pick, they draft Trevor Lawrence. It's not Sam Darnold's fault that it didn't work out here in New York.
They've done him no favors.
They've done him no favors, man. But, I mean, this is a kid that was the third overall pick 3 years ago. Jets fans were ecstatic when they got him. Mike McCadden didn't walk. He ran to the podium to turn in the card. And now you're talking about a situation where you can't wait to get rid of him.
How often do you see a quarterback taking third, top five? And 3 years in, they're worse than when it started.
You never see it. And beyond that, Dave, 3 years after that, you're getting rid of them. You don't see that. I mean, I understand what the Arizona Cardinals did in that unprecedented move with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray, but you don't see that in the National Football League. You don't take a quarterback with a top 10 pick, or top five pick, and then move off of them after 3 years. That doesn't happen. But that's exactly what the Jets are going to do if they get the first overall pick.
Yeah, you have to. 800-919-3776. You have no choice. If you have the top overall pick, you have to take Trevor Lawrence and move on from Sam Darnold. This Saturday on ESPN Plus pay-per-view, it's UFC 254, UFC lightweight champion Khabib, a return to the octagon to take on UFC interim lightweight champion Justin Gaethje in a unification bout. Khabib Gaethje, UFC 254, only on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Did you watch the boxing match on Saturday?
I did.
It was a good fight.
I was underwhelmed.
Well, the second half got entertaining.
Yeah, but the first seven rounds, I mean.
Lopez is good.
No, he's good. I mean, Lomachenko didn't do much, I mean, at all.
No.
He wasn't.
Shouldn't have taken him so long
rounds.
To figure out Lopez, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I was expecting. I'm happy that he won, but right. Maybe I just set my expectations too high.
And by the way, how did anyone. 119, 109, she had it?
Yeah. Oh, how many? I mean, in the first seven rounds, I had Loma winning one round in the first.
Right,
seven.
Okay, but and in the final five.
Yeah, I mean, he came back, and then
what did he win? Three rounds, four rounds,
and then what Lopez did in the final round to finish
it
off.
But she had winning one round.
Yeah, that's
aggressive. What freaks me out about boxing judges.
That's why you got to knock someone out.
You can watch the same fight. Watch the same fight, and she has 119-109.
That's why you don't leave it up to the judges.
You're right.
I mean, especially when you're going up against the guy, you know, the champ. You want to make sure that they know that you won the fight.
He clearly won that fight.
Clearly won the fight.
Yeah.
Clearly won the fight. I was a little bit bored in the beginning. That kid's a stud though, man. 23 years old.
He's something else, huh? He's really good. Really, really good. Today on ESPN Daily, Aaron Rodgers struggles. The Steelers and Titans remain undefeated in a loaded AFC. And the Jets, I added that on my own, by the way. And the Jets remain winless. That is in the copy. Bill Barnwell gives his analysis of week 6 in the NFL on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rico, you know if an AFC team wins the Super Bowl, Dave will never let us live that down, right?
Yeah, it'd be torture.
Yeah.
No,
well, look
torture.
At the top of the AFC. I mean, Baltimore, very good. What are they, 5-1? Kansas City, 4-1, terrific. Pittsburgh, I mean, arguably Pittsburgh looks like the best team in football right now. They are unbelievable, and their defense is terrific. And Tennessee's an excellent team. The loaded AFC.
See what he's doing, right, Rico?
I know exactly what he's doing. Okay. This is the best is he actually made this statement not knowing, having any idea. Like, he messed up.
He messed up, but he doubled down on his mistake. He's doubling down.
It's working for him now. At this point, it's working for him. It's actually worked out perfectly for him.
It's working for him now. AFC is terrific.
The AFC is good.
Speaking of the AFC, what is Keyshawn Johnson talking about?
Trade the number one pick.
Trade the number one pick. What is he talking about? Has he lost his mind?
Exactly what you know exactly what he's talking about. Where did Sam Darnold go to school?
USC.
Where did Keyshawn Johnson go to school?
Okay, USC. So he's just trying to back his guy.
That's his
well,
guy.
We, everybody knows this is not Sam Darnold's fault. We're not right. blaming Sam Darnold for this. But it, let's be honest. If the Jets continue to trend in the direction that they're going and they don't win any games, they are going to draft Trevor Lawrence with the number one pick.
100%.
Like, listen, I mean, if you're comparing Sam Darnold and Trevor Lawrence and you're looking at the upside of both prospects, because even though we've seen 3 years of Sam, he's still a prospect. We don't have a definitive answer as to whether he's a franchise quarterback. There's no question that Trevor Lawrence has more upside than Sam. Way more upside. Trevor Lawrence has done a lot more in his collegiate career than Sam Darnold did at SC.
Not even close.
It's not even close.
What is he, like 30-1?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I have no idea what Keyshawn Johnson is talking about. None. He's lost his mind.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, there's a couple
not,
benefits,
not right.
too. I mean, you got to think about it. There's a couple benefits, too. Here's the one thing you don't know about Sam Darnold. Like, how much irreparable damage have you done already to Sam Darnold moving forward? Like, you don't know. Like, there's no answer to that. Has he been able to stay healthy? No. The other thing is you're going to reset the money. Like, yeah, you can trade the first overall pick and start putting pieces by Emmett, but at that point, you're
you
already
pay Sam.
But you already got to make a decision about what you're going to do with Sam Darnold's contract before you even trade that pick.
Yeah, and can you, I mean, if you do decide to trade that pick, which they're not going to do, I mean, can you put enough pieces around Sam Darnold to be where you need to be when all of a sudden you're paying Sam Darnold top of the, you know, top of the market quarterback money?
Probably not, Rico. No. But beyond that, though, how could you pass up on Trevor Lawrence when you just don't know what Sam Darnold is?
You can't.
You don't know. He's still a question mark. You don't know. So I'm not going to pass on a guy that has the kind of upside that we saw from Andrew Luck or John Elway for an unknown quantity in Sam Darnold.
And even though it's been no fault of his own, who has done nothing for you in 3 years?
Again, it's trading Sam Darnold is not saying we're blaming Sam Darnold for what happened the last 3 years. It's not.
It's just a smart football decision.
It's just a sound football decision, yes.
And I'm telling you, and I think we all agree, he will go to a good system and he will flourish there.
And you know what, Dave? Depending on what we see from Sam Darnold in the second half of this season, you might be able to get a second round pick for him. Who knows? You might be able to.
And then you could draft the receiver, which you should have done for this guy, for the next guy.
You did. He just hasn't played yet.
Right. Well, at some point this year. All right, let's take a listen to Jets head coach Adam Gase. Because he has a couple of soundbites that I want
to
hear.
We need to? Really?
I think we should. Because there's a soundbite here. What makes you feel you can fix this? What do you think he could possibly say in this soundbite?
Nothing meaningful.
Well, let's take a listen. Adam Gase, what makes you feel like you can fix this thing?
It's different things. I mean, it's just keep running when we got a guy beat. It's making sure when we pick up a blitz, we physically get the guy removed from the hole to where the quarterback doesn't have a guy in his lap. You know, this game was way less mental issues. It was physical. You know, just they took advantage of a few things early in the game on some of their pick stunts. They did a good job coming out, and those three interior guys set some things up for those guys in the pass rush. And, you know, it was tough for our O-line to pick up. And then we kind of got that settled down, and then, you know, losing those two guys, and it just kind of started up again.
So there you go. It's fixable.
No, it's not fixable. What he was doing there was just again, just pointing out that it's always the players.
It's the execution by the players. It's not the scheme.
This time it wasn't mental. Now he's running out. Like there's only so many excuses you can make. Now this time it wasn't mental. It was physical. I don't know from physical. Who knows? I'm sure he'll find something creative.
Yeah, he can point the finger as well.
Spiritual,
as
Rick. Our spirits were down.
That's next week is spirits.
The belief. It's a belief thing.
The handshaking is week 10. Chris in Manhattan. Chris, you're next up on 98.7.
Oh, Jesus, Lord. I was hoping you wouldn't come to me next. Good
we can put you back
gentlemen.
On hold, Chris, if you don't want to talk to us.
If you want to compose yourself.
No, I want to talk to you. I mean, because I was a little rude last time. I got off a little abruptly, but... You know, Rick hit me in the gut with something I wasn't ready for. And Rick, man, I love you, man, but you're going to make me have a DMX moment, bro.
Why? What happened? What did I do?
Oh, my God. You didn't just say that you want Gase to be here long enough just so he could wear it, you know. Bro, I got to stand through that pain, man. You know how many thousands of us? Man, I'm that dude right now who's on the rooftop walking back and forth. You see a bald dude walking back and forth on his cell phone, you know, and Dave and Chris are trying to talk me off the ledge all sweet. You want to be Martin Riggs and say, hey, buddy, you want to jump? I appreciate it because, you know. But
hey, what's the address? I'll come join you. What's the address?
Hey, baby. Hey, no, I'll come see you. All right. Well, we can meet halfway, man. We'll, man, follow the yellow brick road, man. It's going to be me, Rick, and Ira. And we're going to go through this.
Even Ira can't take anymore.
What?
Even Ira's at the end of his rope. Ira's okay, the most so optimistic guy I've ever heard.
He's in the same boat, paddling upstream, using his hands. And we're about to go through this again. Y'all about to sell me on another savior, all right? But he's going to come to our franchise. Owner don't know who to hire, when to fire him. See, this is why I don't want you to say that too loud, Rick, because the Johnsons might hear you, and they might, doggone it, they might extend this dude.
No, they're not. He's going to get fired.
There's no way.
He's going to get fired. He's going to get fired. And I listen, it's a matter of when.
The thing I wanted to say, though, is did you watch the telecast yesterday, especially the halftime part?
I watched all of it.
Yeah. Well, you had Boomer on there. Did you hear Boomer's part? And he was talking about, you know, the listlessness of the sideline. Okay, now, I know you heard Coach Cower right after him. What did Coach Cower say? He said, you know, the Miami Dolphins were just like that before Flores got there. Now, if there's anything that wants to make you bang your head against the floor is, I wonder what both situations have in common.
Adam Gase.
Shall we walk there slowly?
No, but we said this. Here's the thing, though. We said this at the time, man. This was not – we were not on board with them hiring Adam Gase from the second that they did it.
Matt Rhule was the hire.
And you reap what you sow.
Matt Rhule was the guy.
Every fear every Jets fan I know had about hiring Adam Gase has come true. Every single one of them. And now I got to turn on the TV and watch Ryan Tannehill look the way he looks.
He's MVP level.
Dude, since he's taken – have you seen his numbers since he's taken over as a starter in Tennessee?
Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable numbers.
Like insane numbers.
I mean, you saw what he did yesterday.
Yeah, between him and Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
I realize. Derrick Henry
I
want
to say he's got the best or
the
second best quarterback rating since he's taken over as the quarterback of the Titans.
I want to say he's thrown 40 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even like – this is not hyperbole. He's in the MVP conversation. He has to be.
Yeah, but see, that's
– And I still don't trust him. Going back to his time with Adam Gase. That's what Adam Gase can do to a quarterback.
That's what happens. That's what happens because that's the impression you get. Like, it's tough to get that first impression out of your mind.
I still don't trust him.
I think you have to now, no?
Well, I don't think you have a choice at this point with how well he's played and how good that team is.
Yeah, but if you had a choice in the two quarterbacks that were in that game yesterday in Nashville, which one you're taking? Let's be honest.
I guess Deshaun, but
let's be honest.
It's not just such a huge difference for me anymore.
Okay, all right.
I think you could talk about it.
I think you'd be on that branch by yourself if you're talking about all the general managers around football. Forgetting about the supporting cast, if you're starting a team, how many GMs would take Deshaun Watson versus Ryan Tannehill if those were your two options?
Every single one of them.
But that doesn't deny the fact that he's terrific.
But Deshaun Watson is a perfect example of everyone wants the franchise quarterback. We have to have the franchise set before we can identify the franchise quarterback.
Completely agree. And you've been saying that since they drafted Sam Darnold. You've been saying it. You've been screaming that.
So unless they figure this out, when they get the first overall pick, unless they figure that part out, I don't care how good Trevor Lawrence is. It doesn't matter.
But aren't they still going to tremendously lack talent coming into next season?
Yeah, but I mean, they'll lack talent. But again, it's Joe Douglas with the amount of draft picks and money he'll have is to build around this kid, protect this kid. And if that means, you know, you don't see him early on because you're trying to protect him until you get enough talent, that's got to be the case.
And a part of protecting that kid is having a culture where you hold people accountable when they don't do their jobs. And it's hard to kind of start that culture when you got Chris Johnson insisting that he keeps Adam Gase around.
The whole thing is dysfunctional. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here talking about Adam Gase being the head coach is—that's where it started. It was like, what did you expect to have happen with how this whole thing went down?
Not the
cluster. What do you mean, not this? Well, yeah, I mean, to have the worst team in professional football.
I mean, I didn't expect.
But shouldn't
this.
We have expected that though? Because
maybe not the worst. Maybe not this. Maybe not this bad.
Chris, you can never expect this.
No. Listen, we could never expect historically bad, Dave. You're right in that regard. But just going back to before the Jets hired Adam Gase, when they made that decision that they were going to pick him up as their new head coach, weeks after he had just been fired by the Miami Dolphins, why should we believe that this was going to be any different than what we saw the last 2 years that Gase was in Miami. What had changed in a matter of weeks that would make us think, you know what, Adam Gase probably figured it out? Do we think it was all on the Dolphins organization?
No, we didn't think that. We didn't think it would. I mean, I didn't think it would change. I didn't think it would look this bad. I mean, this is just, like you said, this is historical. Like, I don't think anyone expected this bad.
We expected them to be the worst team in football. And guess what? 2 years ago, Miami was the worst team in football.
And look at them. Look at what they've done.
Yeah, but the beauty of them is they just found what they think is their franchise quarterback. They didn't burn 3 years of the franchise quarterback.
Right. So they found what they think is a franchise quarterback. They're actually winning games now. They have multiple first-round picks next year. I mean, that's a team that is clearly heading in the right direction.
Yeah, and they trust their head coach, which means that Brian Flores will be the head coach for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
So Tua will have that stability. As opposed to when you drafted Sam Darnold, you felt like, okay, if we don't have a great season here with a rookie, which is ridiculous too. What do you think is going to happen with a rookie quarterback? Who, oh, by the way, you had to started 3 games in 11 days or 10 days to start his career. What did you think was going to happen? You think that Todd Bowles was going to have a ton of success? Or were you setting him up for failure?
You know what? They were more successful then than they are now.
Okay, but then you fired him. If there was any thought that you were going to fire Todd Bowles, he should have been fired before year one of Sam Darnold. Because now the kid's in a tough spot to go into year two. And that would have been with the right head coach. But you only compounded it by hiring Adam Gase.
It's bad all around.
Everything that happened in Miami has now just...
It's bad all around. There's very little positivity.
Come to fruition here in New York.
Want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. We'll... Barton Hahn coming your way in a matter of moments. Rex Ryan's going to join the Premature Pirates at noon today. And then on the K Show, Steve Young at 5, Sam Darnold. God knows what he's going to say today. That's going to be a must-listen at 5:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. Omar, Long Island. Omar, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So how is it a sure thing that Trevor Lawrence will come out? What if he pulls a Peyton Manning and doesn't like the Jets situation and stays in school?
We ask Paul Feinbaum that.
I ask him every week. He says there's no chance. I think it's such an important question, just to see if it changes. He says every week there's zero chance of that happening.
Force the trade.
That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, we heard that Joe Burrow might do that, and Joe Burrow ended up in Cincinnati. So, I mean, that's not – you say it like it's so easy.
Well, isn't Dak Prescott the poster child for making those kind of decisions, though? I mean, why would you stay in college an extra year and risk injury when you can come out and be the first overall pick?
And especially because Feinbaum said he looked bored last year.
Yeah.
Zero more to prove. Zero. Scott and Bethpage. Scott, you're next up.
Hey, guys. What's going on? My completely leaving politics out of this. In a couple of weeks, there's an election, and Woody is overseas. What happens if the president loses the election, which he might, and Woody comes back? You know, management is in disarray already. This job couldn't be any less appealing. I know Trevor Lawrence, the potential Trevor Lawrence makes it more appealing. But if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm not even looking at the Jets. I'm about face and going to work with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but you like the flexibility of having the first overall pick. Deshaun Watson's great. But, I mean, Bill O'Brien spent a ton of money.
You guys talked about stability before. And a good organization starts at the top. Look at the Steelers. You know what I mean? There's just more disarray.
Yeah, but you're not getting rid of it. Like Woody and Chris are not selling the team.
No,
so yeah, I mean, you got to.
And they're not getting rid of Joe Douglas.
Joe
Douglas will be the GM. So,
and he should be.
Yeah. So I mean, I see what Rick is saying in terms of how it sets up and how you can have a lot of say if you're the next head coach of the Jets. But I got to be honest with you guys. I think that the Houston Texans job is probably a more attractive job even without a first or second round draft pick. Just because you have Deshaun Watson under contract for the foreseeable future, and you're probably going to have a lot of input on who the next general manager is down there. So that's just how I see it.
You know where the odds are?
In those state tax. Isn't
that Eric Bieniemy winds up? You know where it is?
Where is it?
Texas.
Wow.
University of Texas.
I think it's a more attractive job. Even with the Jets having the first pick.
No, Texas in college.
Oh, University of Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They move on from Herman and they bring him in because they're terrible right now.
Yeah,
all right,
but a blank check can change all of that, though, Dave.
But they have that at Texas.
Yeah, but what do you think Texas is giving them?
Yeah.
I don't know why you would ever choose to not go to a good college job. All day, every day.
Because you want to compete at the highest level.
No.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.